in the limelight.
Both U.S. political parties have chosen a militant path without an exit strategy, one that must please Lockheed Martin and the rest of the military-industrial complex, says Rolf Nader, author in an article published under the heading U.S.-China Policy, a Perilous Arms Race Instead of Waging Critical Cooperation. Stay tuned for more. Did the Biden officials know what they were doing when they announced the broad expansion of export controls on China? China is the world's second largest economy, which is intricately intertwined with the economy of the U.S. and other nations. This is mainly due to the U.S. multinational companies exporting huge slices of U.S. manufacturing economy to China. What is the White House and the Department of Commerce thinking? The U.S. is struggling to understand how to deal with a rising power like China, building spheres of influence around the world through exports, loans, development contracts, and technical assistance. Provoking China to play its own cards is not smart. China, thanks to the greed of coddled and subsidized U.S. drug companies, produce much of U.S. pharmaceuticals. These companies have left America, for example, with no production domestically of antibiotics, certainly a national security priority. China possesses rare earth minerals and produces technology crucial to U.S. defense and high-tech industries. Its government allows U.S. factories to be built in China on the condition of a flow of latest technology transfers. Ask General Motors. How are export controls based on asserted national security grounds going to work other than to accelerate a new arms race? China is already in the front ranks of artificial intelligence, biotechnology, and quantum computing. To declare a Cold War on China's access to technology, as a Commerce Department official said, that advanced the country's scientific advancement, including on foreign companies that use some U.S. products, is ludicrous. Aren't they aware of the traditional open exchange between scientists all over the world, not to mention China's own allies or collaborators in this regard? The concern about China's tens of billions of dollars invested in U.S. Treasury bonds should also be an issue for Biden. Another calculation underway is the quiet opposition to export controls by U.S. companies that salivates over the present and future profits with Chinese trade. Apple CEO Tim Cook, who, by the way, makes $833 a minute on a 40-hour week, got a special waiver treatment from Trump, continued by Biden, for importing tens of billions of dollars annually of iPhones and computers from his Chinese contractors without tariffs. This is another way of noting that export controls invite both raw corruption and a special lobbying for waivers. They were tried by the U.S. against old USSR, which developed elaborate circumventions. So here we go again. Of course, certain lethal products need to be embargoed by all countries, protective of their people. The U.S. is expanding its so-called entity list, cutting off hundreds of foreign companies and groups from certain U.S. technologies unless U.S. suppliers get licenses to sell goods to them. Don't these government officials know that blacklisted companies can mutate through other corporations, chartered in tax havens or dictatorships abroad? U.S. belligerence will be met with more belligerence and vice versa, as the perils and risk increase. William Harting points out a far brighter future would come from intense U.S. and China cooperation on the climate crises, averting pandemics, ocean preservation, and international arms accords, including cybersecurity. Wage peace and pursue mutual self-interest, as if children and grandchildren matter. Where is U.S. Department of Peace, once advanced by Congressman Jim McGovern and former Congressman Dennis Kucinich, when we need it? Relations between major nations are shaped by the momentum in one direction or another. Both U.S. political parties have chosen a militant path without an exit strategy, one that must please Lockheed Martin and the rest of the military-industrial complex. The forces for muscular peace and cooperation must show there is an alternative path to secure the common interest of the two nations. That's called robust diplomacy in this era of recurring pandemics, expanding ransomware, bloated military budgets, and interconnected economies.